The wars continue and the church closes down. This is episode number 788 of The Next Step, March 21st, 2024.
Hi, this is Susie of In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to a new episode of The Next Step. Since 2008, The Next Step has been coming to you on a weekly basis, bringing you the voice of Armenian Orthodox spirituality, Armodoxy for the New World. We invite you to listen in as Father Vazgen connects the dots between the ancient and the contemporary, between the physical, emotional, and spiritual worlds. So turn up the volume and get ready to take The Next Step.
Hey, good to be back with you. Well, actually, back here in America, you. And I want to say my feet are solidly planted in, but what does that expression mean these days? Can you really be solidly planted in anywhere with the way the world is shaping up, the way things are moving around? Anyway, I'm back with you, my listeners, and it's really good to be back here. You know, this last 40 days, we've been doing the Lenten journey, and tonight is the eve of the last day of Lent. So I just finished the last day, the 40th day. So we have these daily podcasts that have been going out, and I wanted to make them a little bit more light and airy, but you know what? The intensity of the Lenten season is just so great. It's an opportunity for all of us, really, to take advantage of, to really slow down, to really bring down life to its bare minimum. So, you know, I try to make it a little bit more lighthearted. I don't know if that's the right word. Maybe just light in general, but I couldn't. Each of the lessons, the 40 days, got to be pretty intense. And I have to tell you, for me too, personally, it's been a long Lent, in that things have just been going nonstop. I mean, since the beginning of Lent, I could just count them off in my head. I know where we were when we started Lent, and it's been an early year. Easter this year is March 31st. So everything kind of got started a little bit early, but it has been long because it's just been action-packed with so many things. We just barely finished the Reclaim, haven't even had time to process the Reclaim conference. I mean, that to me is really something very special, in that it's now the 8th year that we've done the Reclaim conference, and each year just gets more and more fascinating for me, just to see the level of people that are coming, the people that are presenting. We had some great presenters this time, especially about the monasteries in the Lori region and the idea of orthodoxization. Yeah, if you haven't seen that, do check out the Reclaim series. It's on epostle.net, and you're not going to want to miss that particular presentation. It was intense. Is that the way to say it? Yes, it is. It was very, very intense. But I just got back from Armenia, and so this is what I mean. It's like barely got through Reclaim, got on a plane, we went to Armenia. Let's see, Reclaim was on the 2nd. 1 week later, on the 10th, we were on a plane to Armenia, and I got back on the 15th. So I've never done one of these trips where you go for a day, you know. Now, wait, first of all, I want to put you, just so you know how crazy this thing is. Where is Armenia in relation to where I am? I'm broadcasting from the West Coast. I'm in Pasadena, California right now. So West Coast of the United States, Armenia is literally 12 time zones away, which means literally the other side of the earth, exactly on the other side of the planet. So to go there, it was, 15 hours. We went to Doha, and then another 3 hours to Armenia, which is kind of an interesting way to go, because you pass Armenia on the way there. On the way to Doha, you see the plane going right over Armenia. You know those little maps that they give you on the back of the guy in front of you? There's like a little TV screen. Yeah, the map shows us going right over Armenia, and we go another 2-3 hours, I think it was. And then we take a plane back to Armenia. So total airtime was about, I'd say, 18 hours, maybe 19 hours. I'd say 18 hours we were in flight. We got there, and I went for a funeral. A brother in Christ, Father Datev Tatulian, passed away, and the family was good enough to ask me to come along, and the Archbishop said, please go and represent our diocese. And I wanted to do this. I wanted to do this because, you know, whenever a priest goes down, whenever a priest has finished his ministries, it's a very special tribute to be able to be with them during that time of transition. And I shared this with you several years ago when Father Mesrob Sarafian, another brother in Christ who passed away up in Oakland, and I had gone to the funeral. So, as you know, in the Armenian Church, as well as in the Christian Church, there are seven sacraments in the Armenian Church. They start off with baptism and confirmation. There is penance and Holy Communion. Those four, everybody gets those. And then the last three, these are optional sacraments, depending on where you are in life. One is holy matrimony, and the other one is holy orders or ordination. And the last one was called extreme unction or last unction, last anointing. And we have somehow reserved that now for priests. So you don't get a chance to see too many of the last anointings. And it was at Father Mesrob's. I had seen a few other last anointings of priests, but Father Mesrob's was very special for me because that day I had a unique chance to serve at the altar. And when I watched the Archbishop anoint the body and sing Vochchun says, it's the anointing, it's that holy muron, the power of the Holy Spirit that turns the dead to life, that gives the power to be able to communicate with us. I don't know how to express it. You're thinking, what is this guy saying? The dead is communicating with us? Isn't that like hocus pocus? Isn't that like what Houdini worked his whole life against doing? No, it's not the Houdini style. Listen. I'm going to put a link on today because it's too intense. Okay. I'm going to put a link on today's show to the next step that I did right after I came back from Father Mesrob's funeral. I want you to listen to it. It's pretty wild what happens during that service. And I don't want to take up today's because we have so much to talk about today, but I had a chance to go to Armenia with Father Datev's body and the family for the final committal. So the last unction or that last anointing took place here in America in Pasadena, where Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, the primate of our diocese over here, anointed his body during a special divine liturgy. And let me see, that was on March 9th. And then March 10th, we got on a plane and took the body to Armenia to a town called Nor Hagen. Now, Hagen is one of the old cities in what Turkey took from us during the years of the genocide. It was one of the towns that was lost. And so there is a trend within Armenia is to name many of their towns, their cities, their small little village areas after these towns that we lost in Armenia. This one is Nor Hagen, literally means New Hagen, the New Hagen. And this priest, Father Datev, he was a Hagensi, which means his people came from Hagen, the old Hagen. And so this was his last wish. His last wish was to be buried in the shadow of Mount Ararat. And boy, was it in the shadow. It was just so beautiful. The day we got there to Armenia, Mount Ararat was just glistening. And its shadow was exactly over the grave. So we went to this town called Nor Hagen, where there was a brand new church built. Beautiful, beautiful structure. I'll put a few pictures on today's show notes too, so do check them out so you can see the pictures and what we're talking about. But we did lay him to rest over there. Bishop Daniel Findikian, who's, you know, many of you know, he's been a guest on this show, primate, former primate of the Eastern Diocese. He is now an Etchmiadzin teaching. A lucky group of people, many, many lucky group of people he is teaching. Anybody who is taught by him is certainly lucky because they're getting the best of the best. And so Bishop Daniel Findikian was the one who presided over this service. Bishop Hovnan Hagopian, not Derderian, Hovnan Hagopian. Yes, there are two bishops by that name. Bishop Hovnan Hagopian was there to co-officiate. I was there. Father Khajang from our diocese happened to be there. There is a continuing education program that's taking place in Etchmiadzin. And so priests are invited to go and spend 3 weeks, part of the continuing education as clergy. So he was there, and we sent him off, and I'm using that word intentionally because, you know, in the Armenian tradition, I've shared this with you, our funeral service is called Ugargavorutyun. Ugargel means to send off. And this one was exactly that. It was definitely Ugargavorutyun. We sent him off in the best possible way, not only with the unction and what we did here in Pasadena, but what we did over there in Armenia. It was probably just a very special send-off, I think, that anybody could ever want, and I was just honored to be part of that. So I went to Armenia to do that, and like I said, it was in the course of 5 days. So 2 days is taken up. The first day you lose. So we left Sunday. Monday's gone. You get there Tuesday morning in the middle of the night. I think we got to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning. And then at 9 o'clock, we were on our way in the morning to go to the cemetery. We had a chance to meet with His Holiness the Catholicos afterwards, who offered his condolences to the family. We got a chance to see the new additions to Holy Etchmiadzin, as well as to the Catholicos' palace. We got to see some of the treasures that are kept there. But the best part was, I think, going into the Etchmiadzin sanctuary, which for how many years has been under renovation. So we got to see what they're doing. And right now the plan is September 28th to have an opening of Etchmiadzin, followed by the consecration of the Holy Muron the following day, September 29th. So you may want to write those dates down. These are going to be, as we get closer, we'll talk more about it. And what you're about to see, what you will see, I'm sure there'll be a lot of streamings, including an Epostle stream. If all goes well, we're planning to stream it on Epostle. It'll be the first ever, and hopefully within a metaverse set of circumstances. Now, that being said, let me talk a little bit about what I was hoping not to find in Armenia. And that was, well, I didn't find jet lag. I got to say that first. So there was just not enough time to have jet lag. This is like the strategy of this, okay? I left, what did I say? I left on Sunday night, got there Tuesday. Literally had Tuesday to do the funeral, do the meetings. Wednesday to talk around, met with my dear friend Rupen, who's living in Avon. And then Thursday, getting ready and taking off and coming back. So not enough time for jet lag. So if you're going to do these kind of long-distance travels, maybe you want to think about just doing them for a day, although I highly don't recommend it, because why spend all that money if you're going to go just for a day? In my set of circumstances, I had to. That was the intention of going. I did have a chance to meet with a few people, including some people from Artsakh, who are in refugee camps, in refugee status right now. I met a dear, dear friend, which I hadn't seen in years. So it was just really good to catch up and find out what, you know, firsthand. You hear a lot of things, and no matter what you write, no matter what you talk, it's different when you see up close and personal. So that was very special for me. But I think what I didn't expect to find was the fear. And this was very pronounced. It was very, very real. You know, one of the things that you notice in Armenia. It's a very different kind of life in that family is very important. Safety is very important. I think about that whenever I go to Armenia. That night, one of the best things you can do in Yerevan, if you do nothing else but just walk, you can get lost in the goodness that's all around you. You'll never get lost in the city. There's always somebody that'll guide you right in the right direction. But you can get lost in the goodness. For instance, the opera house is right there in the middle of Yerevan. You go there in the evening. I'm talking about 10, 11 at night, midnight. There's kids playing. Now, of course, not on school nights, but, you know, during the weekend, during the summer. There's kids playing outdoors. That fear element is not there, which we have here in the United States. You know, obviously, those of you who are outside of the United States may not feel it as much as we do over here. It's become epidemic. It's become an epidemic problem here in the United States, where you have this fear of the unknown. You don't know who's going to get up, who's going to be shooting. We call them random shooters. They just get up and they start shooting. And, you know, it has to do with gun rights, people having guns, and people exploiting their rights to have guns, to have these weapons. So much so that, you know, we now talk about these semi-automatic weapons, the kind they use in wars, now are on our streets. And just bizarre. And when you see the quality of life in Armenia, you just go, wow, you know, it is possible. Now, I grew up in Hollywood, California. Now, this today you'd be scared to go out. When I grew up back in the 60s, 70s, even 80s, well, 80s, I was already out of there. I had headed up to Cupertino in 1982. But Hollywood in those years was just a cool town. We used to come home when the sun went down. After school, we'd be playing at each other's houses. We'd go on bike rides through the streets, up and down to the local Thrifty, which is now Rite Aid, which is now defunct. we'd go up and down the streets, really, with the traffic, not scared that you're playing human dodgeball. You know, today I go bike riding in the mornings. I'm scared to death. You don't know if they're aiming for you or if they just miss you or what they're doing. But, you know, it was a different type of life. And I don't want to get all nostalgic, but, you know, it was a different life here in the United States. And now we have this menace of the random act of violence. And I was thinking about that. You know, in Armenia, they don't have that. The kids are just playing. And whereas right now, if you go here in the United States to a park, the other day I had a chance to go to my grandson's soccer practice in the morning. And, you know, you have the parents hovering right over the kids. Well, I would too. Yeah, I did too over my grandson too. Yeah, we do. So you don't know what's out there, you know. So you hover. You don't let them out of your sight. Whereas in Armenia, they're just out there. They're playing. And mom and dad aren't too far, but they're not hovering right over them. They're engaged in their dialogues too and waiting for the time to go by. People are walking. People are enjoying, taking in the air, taking in the sights, and talking, engaging in conversation. And I thought to myself, you know, well, like, what's the difference here? Difference is that here in America, we fear the unknown. We don't know who's going to just get up and start shooting. Whereas in Armenia, it's a fear of a known enemy. And that's what I felt this time. This is what I did not want to see, but I did see. Among the people living there, there is this genuine fear, an existential threat, that everything could be over very quickly. I saw a sign there that said Artsakh, 330 kilometers, and I did the math really quickly. It's roughly 200 and something miles for us. And I put it in perspective where I live. And here in the Central Valley, it would be like a Visalia or Fresno area in the Central Valley of California. In other words, the Turks are that close, just, you know, maybe 3 or 4 hours away from coming. And I kept hearing people talking about, you know, if the Turks invaded now, they would probably get away with it. And it's not because of a weapon or deficiency of weapons or amassing of weapons on their part. It's because of this helpless situation that we hear in the world. This was the tragic part. They kept saying that, well, look what's going on in Ukraine. Putin is doing what he wants. Look what's going on in Gaza. Netanyahu is doing what he wants. And not only that, the United States is backing them, is funding them. And so now we have this added moral dilemma as people. Because when you start funding, that's tax money. That's your money that's going out there and supporting these efforts. Now, I shared with you in the last podcast, in the last Next Step, that, you know, these are things that they need to be called out on, especially from a religious perspective. When the Jewish law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, whereas Jesus says you have heard an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist evil. But in the Jewish law that says eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that was a maximum. See, that's the part they don't tell you. That was a maximum. In other words, if somebody pulled out your tooth, you have the right to take their tooth. You don't have a right to take out all of their teeth or two teeth, one tooth. If someone plucks out your eye, you have a right to take out their eye, but not both of their eyes. Now, of course, this is getting graphic, but you get the idea that what Israel is doing right now is over and above what their law, not my law, what their law says you have to do. And their justification is they're saying, well, look what happened on October 5th. Hamas came in and did this. No one paid any attention and all that. Okay, I understand. But now you've got epidemic proportions of famine, of children being killed, innocent. And, you know, these are just words for us, because they show us images every day on the news, and they talk about these ideas, concepts, wherever you get your news, whether you read it online, you read it in the paper, whatever the case may be. These are just words, because what do you do with that knowledge that you have? People get this knowledge, they have this knowledge, but what are we doing about it? What's the world doing about what's going on in Gaza? And now you're seeing, like, what I've been saying for the last 20 years, 30 years, since we've been doing the In His Shoes program, and definitely there's documentation of every week, religiously, here on The Next Step, talking about, let's get our act together. Stop relying on these politicians. Well, you're seeing it. You're seeing it right out there. The UN is calling them out, right? The UN is calling them out and saying, hey, there's famine. You need to do a ceasefire. They're debating whether they should proclaim a ceasefire demand a ceasefire in the Gaza. I mean, these are jokes. These are literally jokes. If you want to do nothing, then get into politics. Because they're not negotiating. They're just talking. These are just rhetorical statements, back and forth, back and forth. And you're seeing it play out on the stage. And this is what I heard in Armenia. This was the part that I did not want to hear, but I heard it over and over. People said, people don't care. Nobody really cares. They did it in 1915 under the guise of World War One. And nobody was paying attention, and they got away with genocide. And we're seeing it right now. In 2020, under COVID, you know, The world's attention was over on COVID and the elections here in the United States. And they got away. 44-day war. Last year, September, they got away with it and nobody cared. Nobody said anything. And God bless these Armenians that were sitting around talking about who's going to defend us. Where's America? Where's Russia? Where's Russia going to come in? I mean, these people don't care. Everyone has their own agendas. And here we are today in the same situation. I just got back from Armenia and this is what I'm hearing. The people are looking around for saviors. When we have a savior, when we have an answer, when we've been given a means of living, and we keep opting for these politicians, we keep opting for something that cannot save us. They can't save themselves. Yes, I'm talking from America, the same place that's going to put up two old people for election. It's laughable. It's laughable. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. I should be more serious about it. But I don't know what to do. It's that helplessness that we find ourselves in. Let's take a break right now. Okay, we're going to take a break. We do all the time. Just a little bit of time to digest what's been said, and then we'll be back with some more. Okay, I pick out a song every week. This is what I've got for you this time. Water. The snow didn't have a place in the sun, so we slipped behind the rainbow and lay back till we had done. And then the rain wasn't made of water, and the snow didn't have a place in the sun, so we slipped behind the rainbow and laid back till we had done.
sun. The rain wasn't made of water. The snow didn't have a place in the sun.
That's a pretty little tune, isn't it? That's Blackmore's Night doing Rainbow Blues, a Jethro Tull song. They're covering it. I really like that. Actually, because of this song, I got a chance to listen to a lot of Blackmore Nights, especially it was around Christmas time, and I got to hear some of their Christmassy renditions of carols as well as songs. But just fascinating, all the beautiful music that's coming out of. I think it's a husband and wife team. I don't know too much about it. Blackmore's Night. And I'll have a link on today's show notes so you can check them out, check out all of their wonderful music. And as I say all the time, you know, support these artists. They make our life beautiful. Back in a few. Welcome back to part two of The Next Step. Yes, the big show. I have so many shows that this is the big show. And I'm going to share with you on this next step some tragic news. Tragic for me, tragic for people that were involved, tragic for anybody who's concerned with progress, but perhaps not for everyone, okay? So, but before we go there, let me share with you. You know, we are putting out so much material. If you haven't checked out epostle.net, you've got to do that. I know many of you who get this podcast do so because it's dropped right into your mailbox. You've subscribed to it. But if you haven't had a chance, do check out epostle.net. We have now the Basement Bottom Tapes with Susanna Boosian. We have Emin Matosian doing, what's it called? Giragi, the Sunday show. And this was kind of interesting for me yesterday, because one of the other podcasts we do is a daily message. And in that daily message, I looked at Nora Stelzial. It's a sharagan. It's a hymn of the Armenian Church. And he talks about Nerse Shnorali, the author of this beautiful hymn, talks about the first day, that Sunday was the first day of creation. Listen to this. Sunday was the first day of the creation, and it was the day that the Lord resurrected. And so in celebration of that resurrection, that's why we get together on Sunday. Now, I'm mentioning this because a lot of times people come up to me and they say, well, you know, the Sabbath is Saturday and you guys have changed it to Sunday. No, we haven't. No, the Sabbath is Saturday. Do whatever you want to do on the Sabbath, or not do on the Sabbath. That's your business, okay? But don't tell me that it's the new Sabbath is Sunday. Just by virtue of our language itself in Armenia, the word Saturday is Shabbat. Sabbath. It's the Sabbath, the same word. Shabbat. So we haven't changed anything, okay? If anything, we need to get out there and put some copyright on the word Sunday, as that is the Lord's Day. And it was the day of creation and the Sunday. So do check out that hymn. It was in yesterday's daily message, part of the Lenten series. And it just hit me so beautifully that, you know, our sharagans teach us if we just get into them. And that's, of course, the big problem. How do you get into them? Well, you need to learn language. You need to absorb. You need to get in touch with them. And one barrier after the next in this confusing world makes it almost difficult. And I don't blame anything. I never say it's about language. It's much more than language. It's about articulation. It's about putting it out there. You know, a lot of times people come and say, you know, we have books. Read the book in the pew. The pew book is nice. It's a good reference tool. But you can't really live with that. You've kind of got to let it absorb inside of you. It's like when you listen to a piece of opera or a piece of classical music or any music, right? Kind of like absorbs, and then you start tapping along with it. You start thumping your foot along with the beat. It starts playing in your head at different times, right? When you least expect it, you start hearing this tune. And that's really ultimately what you want the Divine Liturgy to do, is to be a part of your life. And so when I said that we have some tragic news, it has to do with something that we did just about 21 years ago. It was actually on Palm Sunday 21 years ago that we opened up the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center in Glendale. And we just found out that it is going to be closed. They're closing it up. It served as a parish under the name St. Peter Armenian Church and Youth Ministry Center for about 20 years. It was consecrated in 2004 by Archbishop Hovnan, and it did some remarkable things, least of which was give birth to this podcast, give birth to the In Issues mission, to epostle.net, gave birth to the youth ministries. Let me say it really simply, what I was saying just a minute ago. People were tapping out the Armenian church in their head. Like, people were thinking, people knew that they belonged to a community. It was just an incredible experiment that succeeded. It was on the corner in Glendale, and just a beautiful place. And I got to tell you, I'm very sad to know that it will be closing within a week. On Easter Sunday will be the last service done there. The current parish priest, Father Yerya, has been gracious enough to invite me to celebrate the Easter Eve Divine Liturgy, and I want to be with him on Easter when the final service takes place over there. And, you know, when you think about a church closing like that, you know, you're talking about not only the people, you're talking about the building itself, about the walls that have absorbed the prayers, absorbed the incense, the candles, the people's tears, the people's laughter. It's really something else, and something that I'm going to be coming to terms with in the next week. And I want to just share that with you because, you know, last year, right after Easter, I did a 40-day period between Easter and the Ascension. It was 20 years ago today. And what I did is I highlighted the work that we did at the Youth Ministry Center, the many, many programs that we had. We especially, most impressive in my mind, were talking about issues of forgiveness, of hatred, of domestic violence, of reaching out to people in need. And, you know, like what I said, the In Issues mission came out of there. It was a very beautiful, beautiful place. And I'm mourning it. I'm mourning that that's over. Because, yes, I left there 6 years ago when I took an assignment at the diocese. And I guess it's 7 years now, or it will be 7 years this year. But I took an assignment at the diocese, and we expanded with this apostle mission. But it was always there. It was always there. Now it's not going to be there. And, you know, people say that church is not the building. In many senses, it is the building. I felt this when I built a church in Cupertino. I used to say it's not the building, but I knew what I saw. After we built it, people congregated around the center. You need a physical presence. And I saw it again in Burbank when we finished the construction of the cathedral, you know. And now when you go there, it's just so many people. It's a beehive of activity during the week. And on Sundays, it is the center for community congregation. And those structures are important in our lives. And this place, St. Peter Armenian Church in Glendale, was very, very important in our lives. What I'd like to do is do a series and do some more reflection on the work that we did there. Because most importantly, what we did there was we got people to believe in the church, believe in the church as something greater than themselves, something worth serving, something worth belonging to. And as was evident by the numbers that we had, the number of people that were part of that very magical experience, which we called the St. Peter Armenian Church in Glendale. So right now it's still fresh. I'm not mourning in the sense that, you know, we've lost. It is a loss, but I know life goes on. I am mourning the idea that an experiment which we tried went down. We tried. And there were many factors in its going down, but right now, like I said, I'm very thankful that the priest and I have a good relationship where he's invited me to be with him on the closing 2 days, and we want to be there for him because it's a difficult transition. He came there 7 years ago when I left and took on the duties of the parish priest, and now the church is being sold from under him. And that's a story in itself. That entire sale thing, like, how do you do that? How does a church get sold? Well, that was the agreement. There was an agreement that there was a lease. It was an open-end lease that as long as I was there, I think it was $1 a month or something like that. It was something that was going to be paid so that we could have the youth ministry, and then, you know, things change. It's been 21 years. And what doesn't change for us is our commitment and our faith in God. What does change for the owner is the profit margins that are there. And sadly, those are the things that sometimes win out. Whether it's in the case of war or it's in the case of moving people outside of their church. And I think about this because I just got back from Armenia and I met with people from Artsakh. One of my dear friends that I met, met with in Armenia, her biggest tragedy came when she had to leave Artsakh. It wasn't so much as leaving her home and everything. She had to leave her mother's grave. In other words, there's no more place to go and leave a flower, offer a kind memory. But even more tragic is what will the enemy do with those sacred lands where human remains are? Are they just going to blacktop it? Are they going to put a shopping mart in front of on it? No one knows. But you could guess at it because of the desecration that's already taken place to sacred sites. And so there is a big tragedy to all of this. And so whether it's a gravesite in Artsakh or whether it's a church in the middle of Glendale, these tragedies have to be documented and have to be reflected upon. Just for our humanity, for the sake of our humanity, not for anything else. Just to say, yes, I am human. That touched me in a unique way. And that there was a magic there. And it's going to go away because that building is going away. And you know what I just said, right? It's opposite everything that you've been taught. You know how they teach you, like, the church is not the building, right? They tell you that. The church is not the building. The church is the people. Okay, yeah, there's some truth to that. That's a church. But the church is a building. And it does have a life. It is a point of congregation. People do come there. And there is a power in that magnetism that's there. I wanted to share this with you today. It's going to be like the prelude. Because you know what I was talking about earlier? If we're really serious about getting peace in the world, if we're serious about finding an alternative to the politicians and the politics that are being played, if we're serious about really securing life, liberty, pursuit of happiness for everyone, we have to get out of the mentality of restriction. Restriction in the sense that the only way to solve these problems is an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. The only way to solve this is through political means. The only way to solve this is through war, through aggression. When we have a way of solving these things, there is a power in the world that is more powerful than all these weapons. And you know it, I know it, the world knows it. The power of love has been there since the beginning. Now, how do we implement that? It's when we start being part of this system, body, soul, and mind. It was last week's reading in church. They come up to Jesus and they want to test him. They say, what is the most important, or what is the greatest commandment of them all? Thinking that Jesus is going to say, well, you know, do not murder. And then they're going to say, well, what about do not lie? You know, the lying will cause the murder and everything. Or if Jesus said, you know, do not lust, they're going to say, well, you know, because of the lust, that's how the murders happen, and so on and so on. And so they will trump what he has to say by one other commandment. And Jesus just flattens them by saying, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That's it. And the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, every other commandment is built on this. Now think about that for a moment. Every other thing is built on this. So why aren't we implementing this operation of love? Well, we can't, because the politics are getting in the way. When you have people who are saying that the only way that we can solve this is by war, and when you've got people who are supporting these people, well, you've got basically a formula for destruction. And this is really what I was saying when I said, you know, this is what I'm warning. We were trying an experiment, and sadly it stopped, but let's see if we could reclaim it virtually. I'm praying about this. I'm working on this, and I want to share it with you in the coming days. So I hope you'll stay tuned and you'll be part of this next process that we're going through. Okay, piano player has entered the studio. There's Susie's smiley face. I'll be back in a moment.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Thank you for your support, your love, all the beautiful messages that you send me. Thank you very much. Yes, we are broadcasting from Epostle. Epostle is now the mothership. It has gobbled up In His Shoes. I don't want to make this sound like some kind of major takeover. But it used to be that Epostle was the voice of In His Shoes as of just about a week ago. Now, Epostle is the actual company, or the actual ministry of the Western Diocese, and we will take your checks in Epostle's name. And In His Shoes becomes more of what it always has been, is the philosophy behind it all, to walk in the shoes of others. So just a little minor little switch, but when you get in touch with us, when you go to our website, you can see all about it. Anyway, our website is epostle.net, and you'll find all kinds of stuff there, including our daily podcasts, including different podcasts from different genres. And with this Holy Week coming up, I want to really encourage you to get involved in your Holy Week, wherever you are, especially download the small podcasts. Now, during Lent, I did some of them were averaging about 8 to 9 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes per podcast. These were like more inclusive, more study sessions. The Holy Week podcasts are going to be short ones, very easy to digest, just a thought for the day as we walk with Jesus on the road to resurrection. So please join us at epostle.net and do take some time to look around. Look forward to April 24th, 2024. That's 4/24/24 when we're going to be opening up some spaces in the metaverse, and that is exciting as well. Listen, I'm going to end it for right now. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of my producer, Susie, and myself, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us throughout the week at epostle.net, and again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Epostle.net. Apostolic evangelism from electronic and expanded universe.
Forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.